The Lord be with you.
With your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of people." Then they abandoned their nets, and they followed him. And he walked on along a little further, and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets, and he called them. And so they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired hands, and they followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. In biblical scholarship, in the last 100 years or so, there has been a fervent and renewed interest in the historical Jesus. Who was his rabbi in the first third or the first century? Where was he born? How did he live? Lifestyle, what kind of food did he eat? The customs of the time, the geography of the area, all of this became a special focus of interest. And with the familiarity of world travel in recent times, so many people are going back now to the land of Jesus, and they're living out what we call the fifth gospel. The fifth gospel is to walk the land of Jesus. In early March, I will be there with God's help with a group of pilgrims to walk the land of Jesus. Part of the interest in the historical context comes into focus today in the call of these first disciples of Jesus. It happens they were fishermen. Now, the River Jordan rises up at a place called Mount Hermon on the borders of the Lebanon, and it flows south across the Golan Heights and into the Sea of Galilee. A small body of water, 14 miles by 7.5 miles. And in the upper corner of that lake is where all the fishing was done. There are warm springs there which attract the fish. And therefore, there's a corner of the lake that is dedicated for fishing. Very successful fishing life there, even to this day. And therefore, the ones that Jesus calls, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were not poor. They were not uneducated. It's very important to find out who they were. They were fervent Jews, fiercely idealistic about the Israeli people and their future, hugely hostile to the Roman Empire, which was occupying their land. They were very religious. They were followers of John the Baptist at one time. They're very religious, and they live in a patriarchal society. Now, that's who they were. They're rugged men. And Jesus calls them to be his first disciples. Now, you have to understand that in the ancient world, we didn't have schools of higher learning except in little cells. Like Socrates had a school of learning, and one of his pupils was Plato. And in turn, Plato, he had his school of followers, a small group, and Aristotle was in that group, and then he had his school in turn. That's the way it happened. The formation and intellectual development and discovery happened in that way. So when Jesus calls his disciples, he's calling them to walk with him. You walked with the master, you slept there, you ate the food, you dressed like him, you talked like him, you lived his lifestyle. That's what it meant to be disciple. And Jesus comes into Galilee, into this area, and he says, the kingdom of God is at hand, you must repent. Bad translation, repent. Metanoia is Greek, nous in Greek means mind. Meta literally means beyond or away. And it means simply you must change your mind. So let me look at what is it about these disciples, and therefore what is it about us that we must change our minds? We must go through some kind of repentance. Now, when they go through the schooling of discipleship with Jesus, they will be confused. They will be perplexed at times, scandalized even. They will question, they will doubt, they will suffer before they emerge into new life as disciples. Now, what kind of teaching did Jesus give them? He was teaching them how to treat people. And just to give you some examples, in the interest of brevity, I'll just take four short examples from the Gospel of John and then four from the Gospel of Luke. You will remember in chapter 4 there in John, you have that woman at the well. Now she's 5 times married, and now she's living with a man who is not her husband. And Jesus is very patient. He listens to her. He understands her. He treats her with dignity. That was so far removed, the notion of him speaking to a Samaritan woman, and the fact that he would be patient and listen and talk with her and journey through her life. That scandalized his followers. That was part of a teaching. Read on in John's Gospel. In chapter 6 in the Gospel of John, you have the Eucharistic theology of John. He doesn't have the bread and wine at the Last Supper. John teaches his Eucharist in chapter 6, the feeding of the multitude. And who is fed? How do you qualify to be fed? In the Eucharistic theology of John, all you need is to be hungry. And if you're hungry, you are fed the teaching of Jesus. Read on in John's Gospel there in chapter 8, you have the woman taken in adultery. Now, for these rugged fishermen, that meant she violated the law of Mosaic law. But Jesus says, is who will condemn you? Will whoever is without sin cast the first stone? He teaches them about forgiveness, about treating people with dignity, about understanding the crisis in a person's life. And finally, in chapter 13 in John, you have the Last Supper. And there Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. This action is not merit-based. He washes the feet of those who are not worthy. He gives the Eucharist to his disciples. You mean he will give the Eucharist to Peter, who will deny him? And he will give the Eucharist to Judas, who will betray him? Yes, he does. A sign that there are no limits to God's love. The teaching, the shaping, the reforming of his disciples. He's teaching them, as I have done this, so you too must do. Look at the Gospel of Luke and see how he teaches by example in the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 10, you have the Good Samaritan, the undocumented Jew. The one who has suffered is the only one who has compassion, the Good Samaritan. The outcast is the one who becomes the teacher, the one in the margins, becomes the sign of God's presence. Chapter 15 there in Luke's gospel, you have the prodigal son, or the good father, and how the father welcomes the son. Doesn't matter what sin, what violation happened, he is welcomed home, the sign of God's love, a teaching for his disciples. Chapter 17 there in Luke's gospel has the lepers. Remember, 10 lepers came to Jesus? Lepers were outcasts. They were not allowed to become part of the commerce of life, but Jesus draws them to himself and he heals them. Now that was totally alien to the tradition and the understanding of his disciples. Finally, in chapter 19, there in Luke's gospel, you have Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector in Jericho. Remember the little fellow that climbed the sycamore tree? And Jesus says, "I mean to have dinner in your home tonight." And they criticize Jesus because he eats with sinners. A teaching for his disciples. He's forming them. They're at school. They're in discipleship university. And he's teaching them how to treat people. Not only is he teaching them how to treat people, he's teaching us how to treat people, since we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. To walk with Jesus, to listen to him, to follow his example, to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus. And that's what it means to be in the image of God, to see the imago Dei, the image of God, in others, in all others. Having first detected the image of God in ourselves. So I'd like to suggest, by way of homework exercise from listening to the word of Jesus, you take just one of these events. Take it from any of the Gospels, but I've given you four from John and four from Luke, and just read it. See what it says to you. You must change your mind about something. Listen to what Jesus is teaching you, maybe about yourself. You have to change your mind about yourself, that you are in the image of God. Doesn't matter where you think you are in life, you're not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. People sometimes tell me, "But I'm not worthy," and I'm saying, "You're right, of course you're not worthy. I'm not worthy, none of us is worthy." But it's the wonder of God's love that embraces us. And having experienced that is the wonder of God's love that will allow us to experience others. Now you'll hear this in our Festival of Faith. So listen to Jesse, who will lead our Festival of Faith, and come to the festival. It's a celebration of the teaching which appears in the gospel today. Amen.
Good morning, church. I know folks, when they see me for the first time, they're taken aback. They're thinking, "Oh my gosh, he looks like Frank Sinatra." But I could be Italian. It's good to be with you for the next number of days. I already started the 9:30 family mass in the education center, and will be to all the masses this weekend. But we're already starting. It's already begun. The festival has already begun. Just to be really brief, when somebody asks you the question, "Who's the church?" you say, "We are." Who's the church?
We are.
Come on now, who's the church?
We are.
When somebody asks, "Where is the church?" you say, "Right here." Where is the church?
Right here.
Beautiful. When someone adds the conjunction "and," you say, "Everywhere." And?
Everywhere.
All right, you're on point. Who's the church?
We are.
Where is the church?
Right here.
And?
Everywhere.
What do cows drink? Water, but thanks for trying. So, I mean, we were all listening. Just like Jonah, just like the disciples. We're all there. A festival of faith is just another wonderful opportunity. Some people might call it a retreat or a mission, but the parish leadership decided, let's do something just a little bit more focused on cultivating joy and helping us reconnect and to renew what it means to be disciple, to see God, the imago Dei, everywhere, especially in those who are rejected and neglected and uninvited and unwelcomed. To follow Jesus is to be often disturbed by the world because the love of God and the mercy of God is reckless. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So in that spirit, just repeat after me. All are welcome in this place.
Behold
love's amazing grace.
All are welcome.
All are welcome.
Okay.
Seven of you aren't singing. I know this stuff. Here we go.
All are welcome in this place.
Behold love's amazing grace.
All are welcome.
All are welcome.
Bring your hopes, bring your dreams.
Mercy flows, love redeems.
All are welcome.
All belong. So God's house isn't just holy. Here's something to celebrate and make clear again. God's house isn't just holy because all are welcome. God's house is holy because all belong. The Imago Dei, that God is with us, God is amidst us. In every circumstance.
Everywhere I go, I see you.
Everywhere I go, I see you.
Everywhere I go, I see you.
Everywhere I go, I see you. Come to the Festival of Faith, Mondays through Wednesdays, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then in the evening, starting at 6 with a little simple meal. Come, bring your friends, your family, your neighbors, people that are angry with you, people who sometimes sit in your pew at Mass. Come to the Festival of Faith. Be surprised and see God's Spirit. Who's the church?
We are.
It changes us. Where's the church?
Right here.
And?
Everywhere.
What do cows drink?
Water.
Feel the change. All right, God bless you.
Bring your neighbors, bring your friends, bring those who haven't been in church for a while. Jesse will bring you to life.